Oh, wait. Now we're good. Welcome back to the podcast, man. Welcome back. It's your boy, Jonathan Keaton, in the cut. Right beside me is Michael. Boy. No, go ahead. Go ahead. Do your thing.
Yeah. I'm out of this time, man. You introduce yourself. Let me introduce myself.
It's come on. Boy,
dedicated Heat fan. Here when we was struggling about the playing ages back in March to finals appearance. So now I'm disappointed again. But that's besides the point. It's your boy, Michael Gary Jr., co-host. Then you got the host to my left. Yeah, my left.
Yeah, it's confusing sometimes. I know.
To y'all, he's on my way. No, he's on the left.
Yes, sir. You know, it's painful times. It is painful times sometimes because watching my Bills just constantly lose in the playoffs, and then watching this bullshit of Stephon Diggs is mad because we didn't get DeAndre Hopkins. I'm like, okay, I thought you wanted to get all the.
That's the reason why.
Apparently, that was another reason why he was mad about it.
Bro, he was saying. He said all that rah-rah about wanting a good quarterback defense, but let's be honest. He wants to get paid, too. Y'all don't have the cap space to pay him what he wants. Realistically, the only teams who really could pay him or his two options was Titans and Patriots, and that's us. But I was watching one, and it was like pretty much just battle of mid because we're mid-tier and the Titans are mid-tier. But in my fair point, you can say it's biased, whatever, but I feel like we'll be better with Hop than the Titans will. Because the Titans, their secondary isn't that good. You can always trust our secondary to be good under Bill Belichick. We insert any defensive back, and we good. We turned Gilmore into All-Pro. We made J.C. Jackson a Pro Bowler. Malcolm Butler went from undrafted to a Pro Bowler and a second-team All-Pro guy. We just create DBs. And then we just drafted guys, man, already. Oh my goodness, I'm so focused on basketball. Football has just been such in the back of my mind.
You talking about Gonzalez?
Yeah, Gonzalez. We just drafted him. Other than Jack Jones, what's it? Yeah, Jack Jones, he just got in trouble. You know what's funny? Because I was seeing a tweet when they got in trouble with the gun thing. Mm-hmm. He literally commented on Ja's situation. The irony, isn't it? The irony. Come on. Why are you bringing a gun to the airport?
Not only that, it's here's my thing about it, right? Because I heard something before with Ja's case where someone was talking shit or whatever at the game. And the shit talking continued on. So Ja and his boys after the game, he started flashing a gun, and then it had the red dot.
I know. That was after the Pacers game.
And it's wherever he came from, right? Whether if it is the hood, if it's not the hood.
He didn't.
Yeah, so it's for me, you actually have people who are fighting for their lives every single day. That grew up in the hood.
Right. It's people who the lifestyle he wants to live, who have to do that. They don't have the basketball gateway or football or whatever sport to get out of that. No, it's either they do that or do that. They got to do what they got to do. He's doing it because he thinks it's cool. I got to give an example of the dude he pretty much keeps rapping, Youngboy. He had to do what he had to do to get. He had to rap. He had to do all that. He's speaking for what he did. Guys like that, they're doing what they did. John's doing it because he gets excited and all that. But why are you doing all that, bro? I listen to him. I listen to Dirk. But I don't see me doing all that.
Exactly.
Because that's not the lifestyle I live. I just like the music. And I think it's cool. And I listen to it to get my energy up or something like that. Or I just like the music. But yeah, John, he wants to be a part of that. He wants to feel it. Bro, you're a basketball player, and you have so many kids looking up to you. Just got a signature shoe. He's one of the most popular players in the league. You can say, what? It's LeBron, Steph, Ja. who else can you say is more popular to kids
other than you really can't.
It's really can't. You can't. Who, Dame? Well, not really. Because Dame is just like a miniature Steph. So it's like,
yeah. If you mention
Jordan Poole.
Yeah.
Yeah, Jordan Poole's.
He's recently coming up there because of last season of his focus on basketball just being completely blank. But when a baddie pulls up, his attention is there. And that's how that popularity starts. It's like, for me, I love the music like that. Because, like, for me, when I'm listening to music, I love the deep shit. Because it makes me think. When I'm listening to a song, I want to think. That's why I mess with guys like J. Cole, Kendrick Lamar, because they have, like, J.I.D. They have, like, a political agenda of what they're talking about in their music. Cordae, Juice WRLD. Like, you don't see me, like, out here trying to, like, slang dope or act like I slang dope or, like, act like I'm carrying a gun everywhere I go, because that's not me. I don't live that lifestyle. And if you keep on acting like you live this lifestyle, then what it does is it's just going to keep surrounding you with bad energy with that lifestyle. And then now you're going to just get caught up in more shit.
And he's going to end up out the NBA for doing something that's completely avoidable. And we speak about John, we might as well talk about his 25-game suspension. You think that's pretty much where you thought it was going to be, or you thought it was going to be higher or lower? Because me, I think that was enough. I think that's enough. I think that's good amount. I think that's a good amount. I have friends who thought they said 50. I said, ooh, 50 is crazy, but I said at least till January, just set an example to him to let him know that we're serious. And if he does it again, I won't be surprised if they do a whole season if he does it again.
Yeah, I thought it would be higher, but that's a good point that you brought up, and I'll get to that point in a minute. But I thought it was going to be higher because you already told him and he already apologized about the situation before. So you guys already sat down and had a conversation about it. So then you go back and you do the same thing. You get caught again. Then you try to lie about getting caught. And now you're in the same predicament that you were before. So if I'm setting an example as the NBA, I would up it up more games. And the reason I would up it up is because you want to show by example. Because now other guys that don't play it are like, well, John only got 25 games. Oh, that's slight work. I can bring a gun. I can bring a gun anywhere. I'm only getting 25 games. That's what, to the All-Star break?
And then another thing to factor into is that he's a star player only getting 25.
Mm-hmm.
So they're thinking, oh, if I'm a guy at the end of the bench, what they going to give me?
Exactly.
They give him a 5? Because they only set an example of him that high because he's such a big name. If it was some fifth, I mean, I ain't gonna lie, honestly, I kind of want to take that statement back because I feel like if it was the 15th guy on the team, he would get cut. I honestly think that's probably the reality. If he did something like that, I think he would get cut. Not he would get suspended. He would get cut because you're the 15th guy. I'm trying to think of a better example. Somebody like who isn't a big name, but a Bruce Brown. If Bruce Brown did that, he would get suspended for a minute, a good minute, but I don't think it would be as big because his name. Because he's not one of the most, he's not a casual fan, doesn't know who Bruce Brown is until the finals, and until they play from. But yeah, I did in the regular season. But yeah, I think 25 is cool. I think 25 is cool. I have no problem with that. I see why they made the Marcus Smart trade. Because now, well, actually, you had to get lose Tyus Jones. So now you still don't have a backup point guard.
Yeah. It's weird because
it is weird.
With defense, I understand it because you get better defensively, and Marcus Smart is like versatile when it comes to guarding the defender. And Jaren Jackson, and he can play make too. Jaren Jackson can also defend. So loosens your game
plan. That's his best thing. Yeah. That's the best thing he got going for him.
So if you're able, it loosens up the game plan to where it makes you get creative with your game plan in the sense of now you can start blitzing guys. You can't blitz them as often, but you can be somewhat effective in the blitz movement. My thing about it is when Ja gets back, how that's going to work out, because that's going to be a small lineup. Because either way, either you start all of them or one of them's going to have to sit on the bench.
Yeah, that's going to be a weird fit because I seen another article saying they pretty much got Marcus Smart to replace Dylan Brooks and his mentality, which I honestly respect. And honestly, I have a high regard for Marcus because Marcus is more mature. He's been to that stage. He knows how to win. He's been to the conference finals 5 times in his career, what, 2017, 2018, 2020, 2022, 2023. So he's been there. He's been to the finals. He knows the stage. He's the perfect veteran in that locker room for Ja. Really, Ja. Ja and the rest of the guys. But Dylan Brooks, that's going to be hard to replace. That's why everywhere I see Memphis is trying to get OG Anunoby. Because OG Anunoby, he's really good. He's not 3 first-round picks. The Raptors got him overrated in that part. He's not 3 first-round picks. He's not even better than Mikal Bridges as a 3-and-D wing. Because Mikal Bridges, I trust more getting a bucket on his own than OG. But OG, defensively, he's locked down. He's locked down. And I say he's perfect for Memphis. Because then if you get OG, if you roll out OG out there with Marcus Smart, Desmond Bane, OG, Jared Jackson, Steven Adams, whoever you have at center, that's going to be hard to score on them. Because there's nobody you can really attack. Because Desmond Bane isn't a slouch defensively. Marcus Smart, you know, defense player. You're OG, all defensive guy. Jared Jackson, defense player. Steven Adams, one of the strongest guys in the league. I literally was watching a podcast with Paul George. He literally said he would see if his teammates get scuffed, he would literally pick the guy up and move him away. Center, it don't matter who. It's ridiculous for Steve Adams. But and then when Ja gets back, OG's perfect because he can shoot. OG can shoot, he can drive, but I don't want him that being his he's an upgrade over Dylan Brooks. That's all I'm saying. He's pretty much an upgrade over Dylan Brooks. And anything above Dylan Brooks is better than nothing. Because offensively, Dylan Brooks was pretty putrid. And you know what the crazy thing is? He used to actually have a better jump shot, and then it just fell off. I don't know when Taylor Jenkins gave Dylan Brooks a green light to shoot like 7 or 5 threes a game when that's not really a strong suit, but he needed to get rid of that green light immediately. But I still find it disrespectful how they said they wouldn't bring him back under any circumstances. I said that's kind of disrespectful because it's like you're pretty much saying he was that bad. I wouldn't say he was that bad. Yeah, he was bad, but yeah, think about it. He got a little too over his head. He started talking stuff to LeBron, and he didn't realize that Ja got hurt, so he was dealing with his wrist, and then Steven was gone, and was Brandon Clark is gone. So you don't have any bigs other than Xavier Tillman and Jared Jackson. So you know once you get beat, if Jared isn't there, it's a problem. So it's like you got to know your personnel. If they're 100% healthy and he's talking that smack, go by all means because you're confident in your guys. But I get what he did anyway because he was confident anyway, but he just has to know his personnel in a way like you're talking to a veteran team. It's not like the Timberwolves last year where two young teams going at each other. No, it's a veteran team versus a young team who's never really been there before. So I don't know what Dylan Brooks is trying to do, trying to get LeBron here. Come on, man. He's going against all the types of trolls. He's going against Pat Bev. What is his name? Lance Stevenson blowing in his ear. Like that was ridiculous. Like, just imagine if during basketball, somebody just bends down with you and it just blows your ear.
For me, because, like, you know how I get when, like, I get into situations like that. I'd probably I'll definitely like blow back in his ear just to troll, and I'll just keep on trolling. Okay, okay. So,
you know, y'all, you know what? See, they're different for me. I would have a problem with that. Like, what are you doing? I have a problem with that, but that's neither. Now do I think the Grizzlies, they should stay afloat. I don't think they'll. I wouldn't count them out. Because this year they were hit with injuries hard, and they still ended up being the second seed. So they should be able to survive. As long as they stay above 500 by the time John gets back, they'll be fine. I'm not really worried about the Grizzlies. They should be good, because it's a lot of teams who are probably going to – because honestly, looking at the West, who's – I mean, we got to wait till free agency to see who will get worse and who will get better. But I'm not really worried about Memphis. I can feel like Memphis will still be really good next year.
I think when we look at Memphis and we look at all the teams in the Western Conference, the first question that pops up – or not the first question. The first thing that pops up is scoring. Obviously, Phoenix can do that. Denver can do that. Golden State at a point in time when everyone was hitting, they could do that. Sacramento was able to do it, so on and so forth. So, like, each team had a guy or two that can score and keep scoring for you throughout all four quarters. So then you look at outside that guy, who else was scoring with them? Well, the Warriors didn't have that because Klay had one of his worst seasons. Or his worst season.
Klay was pretty good this year.
In the regular season, he was good. In the playoffs,
he took a
major hit in the playoffs. And then the whole situation with Draymond and Jordan Poole, it obviously divides.
It lingered through the whole season.
Yeah.
It never went away.
It divides in that locker room. Then with Phoenix, all you have is Devin Booker and Kevin Durant. Yes, they're scoring 30 points per game, but they don't have a guy that can rebound. They also don't have a guy that wants to be there. So you already know what attitude is brought to that locker room, and it just destroys chemistry. Then the only other complete team that you really saw was Denver. Like Denver. Los Angeles, the only reason they didn't succeed because their defensive guys couldn't play offense.
And the Clippers, health.
Yeah, and that's always a problem for them. I think they slowed up.
I agree. Because think about it. When was the last time the Clippers were healthy, fully healthy for the playoff run? It was 2020 when they blew the 3-1 lead.
Mm-hmm.
When they blew 3-1. You could say 2021 as well, but Kawhi got hurt.
Yeah.
In the second round. But if you're talking about fully healthy, where nobody's hurt, what's the bubble? They blew the 3-1 lead. You know something interesting? Because I had to get this off my chest. I heard somebody say, not you, but I seen somewhere on the internet, somebody said, why are we holding, pretty much what he said is, why are we holding that Clippers loss so high on them? Because they didn't want to be there. And Paul George even said that they really want to be there. So you're telling me, so when they decide they didn't want to be there, because that's my check. Everyone says they decide they want to be there before the playoffs started, before the bubble even happened. Okay, so they went there. So how much want to bet if they won it all, people would be – they wouldn't say anything. They wouldn't even talk about, oh, they didn't want to be there and they still won. Because the Lakers didn't want to be there either. They didn't. They didn't want to be there either, but they still got it done because they gutted it through. He was acting like the Clippers decided, we don't want to be here. We didn't want to be here after they blew the 3-1 lead. No, they didn't want to be here before the bubble even started. So they blew that 3-1 lead because they lost to the better team in Denver. They know because they underestimated Denver. Because I'm telling you, I watched that entire series.
Mm-hmm.
I honestly gave up on Denver because I'm like, the Clippers are just a really good team. And then they won game. They won game 5. And then once they came back in game 5, I said, hold on, they might got something. Because I said they were down double digits going into like the third, end of the third to the fourth. And they got something. I said, they got something. And in game 6, they do the same thing. I said, oh, yeah, they got this in 7. But for Paul George and Kawhi to go out the way they did in that 7, game seven. Well, Paul George was terrible the whole series, but Kawhi, I expected better. And they just keep making excuses for that. I don't like it because nobody wanted to be there. So it's like, I don't really get it. So it's like the only successful playoff run they had was 2021, but the guys got injured. And I agree. If Kawhi doesn't get hurt, they go to the finals. They beat Phoenix. They beat Phoenix because nobody's guarding Kawhi. Mikal Bridges, let's be honest. He wasn't guarding PG. So they go to the finals. Do I know if they beat the Bucks or not? That I am not guaranteeing. But 2022, they got hit with injuries for Kawhi, PG. 2023, PG, and Kawhi. So it's like, it's either you can run it back again. If they get injured, well, that just lets you know this was a failure team and you got to reset it. You got to. But I did see that Paul George is actually available for trade talk. The Clippers have made him, not openly, but they're kind of like circling around it. And you know who exactly, once I see that, who I thought of immediately is a good suitor. PG, Jimmy Butler, Bam. Mm-hmm. Oh, that defense would be immaculate. Problem is PG's health. I don't like it because Jimmy and PG, that would be a problem because Jimmy doesn't take the regular season serious until like after All-Star break. And PG, his injury, he's gotten hurt pretty much every year after 2021. 2021 was pretty much his only really healthy year, but he's gotten hurt every other year, and I don't like that. It's either, my opinion, it's either Dame or Zach LaVine. I think the Bulls actually made Zach LaVine available for the right price. But problem with that is our best asset is Caleb Martin. Now, before you get to tripping and saying, what do you mean by that? Because I know somebody listening says, what do you mean by that? Y'all, Tyler Hero. I don't think people realize. Tyler Hero, with this new CBA, his contract is bad. Before the CBA, it wasn't too bad. You can actually deal with it. But this new CBA, he's pretty much a glorified Jordan Clarkson. Just a younger Jordan Clarkson. He's negative on defense. He can't really score without a screen. And he has T-Rex arms. There is no hope of him becoming a better defender. And he literally gets hunted on defense. We talk about Duncan Robinson getting hunted. Oh, Tyler Hero gets hunted plenty of times. And if he isn't scoring the ball, he really isn't doing much for you, just like a la Jordan Clarkson. So his contract is negative. That's why I understood more why the Warriors got rid of Jordan Poole. His contract, and they just, that new CBA is going to ruin a lot of teams. That's why the Wizards got rid of Kristaps for so little. Thank you, CJ and Grant Williams. Thank you for this new CBA. It's terrible. It's terrible. It's terrible. Terrible, man. Bro, Jordan Poole for CP3. I seen that notification on my phone. And I had to wipe my eyes, man. I just kept watching. I'm like, no way this is true. See, there's no way they traded Jordan Poole, a 24-year-old guard who just averaged 20, for a 38-year-old CP3 who has not played good in the playoff since 2021. I know why CJ and Grant Williams, they negotiated the way it did. It's because they didn't want it. That big three thing to happen again with KD, Steph, Clay, Draymond, and Embiid was surrounding with good rope. They don't want that to happen again. But now you make your teams just throw, like, that's why it's hard to commit to rosters now.
Yeah.
It's hard to commit. So now that's why the Suns are doing what they're doing, is because they're saying, we might as well just go all in and try to win. And, like, we just fill the rest of our roster out with role players because we're going to end up having to do that anyway. So it's like, we might as well just go all in. Which, I'm not going to lie, Brad, Devin Booker, and KD is a good big three. If you have defenders around them. If you have defenders, but I don't know how they're going to do that. But I have no idea. I'm waiting for free agency. Man, I just know. I just hope we make a move. Because if we don't make a move, man, I don't know if I can do another basketball season. If I promise you, whenever they release the schedule, that first regular season game, if I see Kyle Lowry and Tyler Hero in that starting lineup, I am going to lose my mind. Can't do it no more, man. That's 2 years in a row. We ran it back. We're not running it back a third time in a row. We got to make something happen. We got to make something. I don't care who. Give me LaVine. Even though I'm not a big fan of LaVine, personally, because I don't like guys who don't play defense. But that's the conversation we can have another day. But give me somebody, man. Give me some three-level score. I thought it was going to be Brad. In all honesty, yeah, I would like Dan because he's better. But Brad is perfect. Because he can play off ball. He's not a bad defender. He can shoot on all three levels. And he can play make. He's perfect for when Jimmy can take his rest. Because then it can be Jimmy and Bam. I mean, it could be Bam and Brad being the number one and two. And then second half of the season, Brad can take his step back. And Jimmy can take his step up to let y'all know it's playoff Jimmy time. And then we get into Pope season and hopefully try to compete for a championship. But no. Brad went for CP3, a bag of chips, some 15-year-old right now. So, like, what are we doing, man? Just because we want Dame. And the Blazers are stubborn. Dame's stubborn. I'm tired of both of them. Somebody needs to make the breakup. Somebody got to say it. Somebody got to speak up and say, I can't do this no more. I think we should see other people. But they don't want to do that. Dame's stubborn. He thinks he can win with this team. The Blazers don't want to rebuild. Oh, man, I can go on rant for this for hours, man. It's annoying. You don't understand because y'all are stuck in mediocrity with the Bulls.
Yeah,
y'all stuck, so can't really speak much about it. What's the expectation right now?
And the same thing as the last 4 years.
No, not really. When y'all got Lonzo and y'all were the first seed, I was actually surprised. I'm like, y'all are really good. I said, this team could probably compete for a little bit.
And then Lonzo got hurt.
And then now he's not even going to play next year. I said, man.
He might not even play basketball again.
Yeah, it's that knee surgery he had. It's kind of hard to come back from. It's really hard to come back from. So it sucks because once he got to Chicago, he really started to flourish. Like, what did he have? 15, 7, 7.
And he was shooting close to, I think, 40% at the three.
Yeah, he was really good. Yeah, he shot 4% from three. Then him and Caruso as a defensive backcourt were amazing. If you give them a decent rim protector, better than Vucevic, oh man, that defense would have been amazing. Cause then you got LaVine and DeMar as scorers, then you got defensive guards, then you got a rim protector at the center. I'm trying to think of somebody who's good enough, better than Vuce defensively. I know you got some guys. Jared Allen.
Robert Williams.
Robert, his health, I kind of question it a little bit. Like, because he didn't even seem like a big defensive threat in the playoffs. He really didn't. It seemed like he still, I don't know what injury he probably dealt with, but he just didn't seem like that same defensive guy he was last year. I think that's probably what.
Al Horford, too.
No.
I would say Al Horford's defense is slept on.
I don't know, for a whole regular season and a playoffs as a starting center, I don't think Al Horford's a starting center.
I mean, he was doing it for the most part for Boston.
No, he wasn't. It was Robert and Al was at power forward. I say Jared Allen's a perfect example because Jared Allen's a really good defensive guy at the big man spot. He's really good. I think he's perfect because they ain't got a good rim protector behind them. So he'd be perfect because Lamar Rosa plays on defense.
Yeah, I mean, for the Bulls, it's been more than a decade to where you go back to the D-Rose days, and that team was amazing. But the Achilles heel for that team was injuries, and it's the same thing with it now, which is it's part of the game. Like, we can't sit up here and make excuses. Like, I'm not saying we are, but. Like, we can't make excuses about it because it happens. And, like, I hope Lonzo comes back from that because not being able to play basketball again is
at a very young age.
At a very young age, too. But, like,
it's not like It's not like he was like 30. He's like 12, 13 years in. No, he's what, 25, 24, 25 years old. Like, he's not even in his prime yet.
Exactly. And it's like, I'm about to cut you off, but when you know as a GM, this is why, like, I want to sit in the office when GMs talk about this, because I genuinely think they have no fucking clue what they're doing. It's like,
you saw the Bulls?
No, I'm just talking about like GMs in general. But like, we're talking about the Bulls in this sense. So yeah. Like, granted, you know, because they know more than what the players know, and then on top of the ownership, they already know. It's all a pyramid. At the end, it's all a caste system. Everyone has their provided roles, and everyone finds out about things at a different time. Other people find out inside the organization. My point is, they know where Lonzo is going. They know that Lonzo is not going to play. Now, they can't trade Lonzo because no one's going to want Lonzo because he's injured and he's not going to be able to play within the next 2-3 years, where the speculations are looking at. So I would talk to him and say, your basketball career might be over, but hey, we want you to stay with the organization, so we're going to give you a job inside the organization.
Not to catch up, but it's like, we don't know if they've had that conversation.
Yeah.
They probably have had that conversation. That they probably had serious discussions. They sat down with him and LeVar probably and said that it's possible that this might be it for you. Like, not just here, just like basketball, because when he got hurt last year, and they say he was out for the season, I said he'll be back next year, and the Bulls will be back good again. Then they say his knee just wasn't getting better. I'm like, what do you mean it's just not getting better? Like, is it like he need another surgery? I'm like, okay, it's much more serious, but he'll be back. And then they say he might miss this next year as well. I'm like, and then once I read up about it, I'm like, they say he might not come back at all for the rest of his career. I'm like, dang. That's another point guard for Chicago that's injuries ruining his career. Take them out of contention. Even though some people probably argue that the Bulls weren't really contenders that last year when they were like good. But we never know, because we just don't know. We never know who they get played. Because sometimes the playoffs is matchups. Like, it's matchups. It's matchups. Like, us, we played Milwaukee in the first round. That was a good matchup for us because Jimmy was healthy. Not wishing injury on Giannis, but Giannis got hurt. So we had two games. We was able to get two games with him gone. If we played Boston in the first round, like, imagine we beat the Hawks. I don't think we get that same luck. I think this whole AFC, that whole tournament we just went on, I don't think it happens if we put Boston in the first round, because Boston, they're not like Milwaukee and Budenholzer are being stubborn and letting Jimmy play one-on-one all game. He's not going to let that happen. Because Budenholzer, he let Chris Middleton or whoever guard Jimmy, but then he said, oh, Jimmy starting score? Drew, get on. Well, Jimmy cooked Drew. So what are you gonna do? He did nothing. He just said Drew's eventually gonna get the best of him. No, he just kept cooking. Boston's not gonna do that. Tatum can guard him. Brown can get him. They got Robert Williams right there. I don't think that's gonna happen. So
that's too much size too. I think I'm about to cut you off again, but they have too much size at that point in time where I think they caught Boston at the perfect time, because you're thinking about a lot of things when you get up to that point. And with each and every game,
Boston looked more vulnerable because with us being able to watch Boston while they were getting to the conference finals, we got to see their weaknesses. And because it took them, they had to win back-to-back games, one on the road and one at home, to beat Philly. It took Atlanta. It took them six games to beat Atlanta when most people said they were sweeping. Me, I said they were sweeping them. I said they were sweeping Atlanta. Atlanta got two games. Kind of exposed some weaknesses. Jaylen Brown can't go to his left. Jason Tatum's inconsistent. Their offense, if they're not hitting threes, it's hard for them to win games. So we pretty much emphasize we can't let them hit threes, because if they hit threes, it's hard for them us to win that game, because then they're pretty much unstoppable. Malcolm Brogdon was hurt for game six, but they won that game by the tip. Heart dropped. Don't want to talk about that.
Heart dropped. It's a heart drop.
Bro. Not even just to get away from conversation, but I want to talk about that, because I don't think I ever got to talk about that. Bro. I was watching the key. I was on the game. Bro. The buzzer went off. Put my hands up. I'm like, we're going back to the finals. And I saw her announcers. It's like, wait. I said, wait. They got shot. Then I see Boston celebrate. I'm like, what they celebrate for? They just lost. I watched that replay, man. My smile, it just went to a frown, man. Mouth just in awe. The game went off, and I was just still sitting here in awe. It took me like a good at least an hour just to close my computer, get up, just look at the ceiling and be like, that really just happened?
You sound like me when Kansas City came back within 13 seconds, kicked the field goal, won the coin toss, and then proceeded to drive down the field and win the game. Like,
speaking of that, last year when we were literally coming back from our Butler Xavier trip on the bus, if you were there, I promise you would have hated it, because everybody was Chiefs. And we know everyone would have been clowning you for what just happened.
I would have been.
Oh, especially me. Especially
no,
me.
No, yeah, you know, yeah. Like, I probably would have had to, like, sit in the back where, like baby Kiki and niece used to sit, and just, like, turn on my headphones all, like, just full blast, because I was not going to try to hear none of that shit. Because when we were going to UConn, and I kept on looking at the score, because I was mad that I couldn't watch the game, because, like, we're, like, 14,000, 15,000 in there.
Wait, that game happened?
That game, when we were delayed at the airport, that game happened on that day. So I was just crossing my fingers.
And just hoping we get to watch it.
Yeah. And like, we didn't get to watch it. So I was like, okay, like, I just got to hope and pray when we touch down that they're somehow winning the game. And I got to watch like the first couple minutes of it. And I see Josh Allen overthrow Stephon Diggs. When we got to Connecticut, the game was already over with. Like, it was still going on, but like, they're down by 17. And when I see Josh Allen overthrew Stephon Diggs, I was like, because you get that. All right, there's not going to be any coming back from this. And then I'm looking at the highlights. They're just running down our throats. Then they're passing down our throats. The point is that the feeling sucks, because you try to get over it, and then you just constantly think about it, and then you constantly keep on looking at it. And it's like,
how do you think I feel? When y'all put 48 on us in a wild card game. Because when we went to y'all, the win did favor us. And we were prepared for that. Y'all weren't. Mm-hmm. We won 17, what was it, 17-10 or something like that? It was really close. It was like a field goal, I think. It was like a field. It was 10-7, something like that. I don't know.
Yeah.
It was something like that. We went to Buffalo and won the game. And then we barely lost at home. So I'm like, you know what? I'm confident going to this wild card game. We can beat the Bills in Buffalo. And then I think y'all scored down once. I'm like, okay, that's one. I expect Buffalo to score on us. Come on now. Then we couldn't score. Y'all scored again. We couldn't score. Y'all scored again. I'm like, what's going on? Then eventually I gave up. I said, y'all just put 48 on our head. Like, it's different if we lose a close game, because I can respect that. But we got destroyed. And then y'all do it the very next year. In the regular season, end our season. Like, if this is what's a coastal rivalry, I couldn't really say that, because, like, you owned it. I mean, yeah, y'all owned us for the past 4 years, but lifetime, we got y'all. But
don't even want to talk about lifetime. Like, life, Like, that. The only rebuttal I have to that is I rejoice the three wins that we have in Buffalo when Tom Brady has came to Buffalo. That's the only thing I could tell.
Wait, how many is it? It's six.
Four straight Super Bowls.
Hey, man, like you said, this is your year.
Yeah, I hope so. I really do, man, because my brother is a Chiefs fan. And during that time period, I was screaming out the top of my lungs when Josh Allen threw that bomb to Gabe Davis to put us up going with 13 seconds left. So I'm just cheering.
I didn't even care about the game. I said, this is great football. I love this. I could watch this any day of the week. I said, I'll watch this. I don't care who wins. Bills can win. The Chiefs can win. At the end of the day, I just care who beat the Bengals because I hate Joe Burrow.
Do you hate Joe? You hate Joe Swaggy? What's your beef with Joe Swaggy?
I don't like him. And then I'm not going to lie, it's probably really a media narrative with it because they celebrate how he carries himself. But I know another quarterback who looked like us who carried himself like that and they didn't like it. Cam Newton, kind of get the correlation. So it's like, I didn't like how they hate Cam for carrying himself like that. But when Joe does it, it's crazy. Joe Scheisse, Joe Burr. I don't like that. As a player, I respect him, though. He's a really good quarterback. Mm-hmm. But I think he's a – we got to think about it. He has a lot of talent on him. He has a running back. He's a good running back. Joe Mixon's a good running back. Jamar Chase.
T. Higgins, Tyler Boyd.
Then he had that tight end, CJ
Uzomah.
Yeah, but till he went to the Jets, so it's like he had a lot of good weapons. But you say, well, how you gonna say that? Mahomes had good weapons too. Last time I checked, it's just Tyreek and Kelce. Who else? Running backs are always average. Always on average running back. Mahomes makes these guys good. Kelce is the only one who was good before Mahomes. Tyreek made the all pro as a return guy. He wasn't all pro receiver. He was fast, but Alex Smith couldn't use him like Mahomes used him. Mahomes had this man taking 5-yard slants to the house. Mahomes' cannon arm had Tyreek such a deadly threat that you can't play man coverage on the Chiefs. You play man coverage on the Chiefs, you're just asking for an 80-yard bomb over your head because there's nobody.
That was like the perfect display of what they did against the Bills the first time around because they really made you pick your poison. Oh, you're putting the safeties back? Okay, well, we're just going to put Tyreek Hill on the slant. Oh, you're bringing him up? Oh, we're just going to put Travis Kelce over the middle. Oh, so you're trying to do a mix of both? All right, well, we're just going to utilize speed and size, and let's see.
That's when they still have McColl. So, and McColl wasn't – well, he isn't a good receiver, but he was good enough. He was good. They had McColl, DeMarcus Robinson. God, who knows they had a receiver. They didn't have Sammy. No, they didn't have Sammy anymore, but, dang, I remember Sammy Watkins. Sammy Watkins was really good for them as a number two. Only lived in the past.
Yeah, but the Chris Ball and Jordan Poole, I've been going back and forth on this, on whether or not it was a good trade or not. But people have to realize, yes, Chris Paul is making $1 million less than Jordan Poole. But if you're trying to bring back Draymond Green, you know that situation is not going to rekindle itself because it's not like they were pushing each other and then that was the altercation.
Well, it feels like an argument, like a slight argument. No.
Yeah, but Draymond
knocked him out.
Yeah, like literally knocked him out and everyone saw it. So now it's just it makes you look even worse than what it did before because now everyone looks at you as, oh, wow, like you got knocked out. Oh, snap, I can't even look at you the same. Oh, snap, I can't even, like, cheer for you the same. Because now it's just the demeanor of him, it goes down. Because everyone saw it. Everyone. So that happens.
And then that, you got to think about his think of himself. Like, he can't look at the Draymond saying, "You supposed to be my brother. You just embarrassed me in front of everyone." And then he had role issues because he wanted the ball more, but Steph, you got Steph, Clay, you want more space. Then you got the young guys in general having issues because Kuminga wasn't playing, Moody wasn't playing, especially Kuminga. Kuminga's the main one who's been playing about not playing. And then you, I know you've seen Steve Kerr send like a some shade their way because he was on Draymond's show. He was like, look at Miami, they got good role players. It's guys that they possibly know they probably won't play tonight, but they know their role.
Yeah.
That shade at Kuminga and Jordan Poole because they wouldn't accept their role. And that's six-man guys who come off the bench. No, they want to be guys who consistently play. But Kuminga, it might be Kuminga could have played more in the Lakers series than the Kings. The Lakers series because they needed size. Kuminga can guard LeBron. Not naturally, but he's bigger than Moody. I see Moody out here guarding LeBron. Like, Moody's like a 6'4 guard trying to guard LeBron, who's got like 80 pounds on him. That's not going to work. Kuminga's more athletic. He's kind of like a miniature Wiggins. So it's like, Kuminga could have played more, but I don't know with Kerr. He likes the veterans, and that's the way they're going. They're going back to the veterans because that's why they bring in CP.
And they can open up a lot of space because it will rely on Curry being less ball dominant. And that's completely fine with Curry. That's completely fine with Clay because they have embellished ball movement.
That's their system. Ball
movement. So when you
bring, that's on the court. That's on the court, but off the court.
Yeah.
CP is his contract's up next season. Clay's contract's up next season. So you can now that's a lot of cap room that opens up because you gotta pay Kuminga, possibly Moody, if you want to. You gotta pay one of those because what Kuminga, this is his. Yeah, you can extend Kuminga. Mm-hmm. You'll have to extend Kuminga if you really want to keep him. But Draymond, I think they'll probably give him like $25 million a year, 25. If it's above $35 million, then they're kind of insane. What Clay's contract's up next year. They could probably ask Clay to take less. Curry, he can get whatever he wants. Because without him, that system doesn't work at all. Doesn't work. That dynasty is done for it. The day he's done. It's over. But I will agree. I did say one thing the other day. I said, once Curry's retired, their future is kind of rough. Because like they got to draft a guy. That guy's supposed to be Wiseman. Then it was Jordan Poole. Now he's gone. You don't have a future guy. And Kuminga, I mean, he could be good, but I don't think he'll be a star. I don't see star potential in him. Jordan Poole, I've seen it. But maturity and inconsistency. If he wasn't scoring, he's pretty much, he reminds me of Tyler Hero a little bit, but Poole's more slithery. Whoa, why are you looking at me like that?
Well, no. My table shook. I thought I was just making sure I didn't knock anything down.
No. I'm not trying to say, like, completely he's Tyler Hero, but, like, both are liabilities on defense. Mm-hmm. But Jordan Poole offensively, he's more smooth than Tyler. He can score without a screen, but Jordan Poole, he's just inconsistent. But that W for the Wizards. Oh, for sure W for them, because they get a young, good player who can now just – next season, I wouldn't be surprised if Poole averages 25.
I wouldn't be surprised either, because now it's his opportunity to show people.
It's his team.
That he can lead a team, that he's basically in the same situation Kyle Kuzma was when he first came there. You want to resurrect your career?
Not really, because Kuzma still had Brad and Kristaps over his shoulder. But, well, Kuzma could come back. He can come back, possibly.
Yeah. But I think he's gonna leave.
I think it would compare to like Kuzma. Where would he go? No, you know what? You're right. Because he does want to contend, and the Wizards are clearly rebuilding. He would want to contend. He would want to contend. I believe that.
Because like I want him to go to Indiana because I really want to see him and Tyrese mesh together. but he wants to, like you said, he wants to contend. So like he's not gonna go. He's not gonna go to a team like that. I think like he'd be a great fit in Sacramento because with Sabonis, you move.
He'd be upgraded over Harrison Barnes.
Yeah, you move Sabonis to the center, which he's completely fine with that.
Sabonis was at center.
Yeah.
Or it was my bad. It was you could put Kuzma at the three.
Yeah.
You can put Kuzma at the three.
It will still work out because then the defense won't have to display a package to where they're just leaving Sabonis open. Because then it will just provide the Kings, or it won't just provide the Kings. It will give the Kings more firepower. Because now you have to stop De'Aaron Fox,
Malik
Monk, and now Kyle Kuzma. So you don't have
who you can play. All three can play at a fast pace.
Yeah, and if you leave them open, this game has evolved so much with off ball screens and guys cutting that someone is going to be open. So you leaving them on open is just gonna make that better. It's like doubling Nikola Jokic and Luka Doncic. It's better for you not to do it because they're so good at depicting, what's going to happen next, who's going to cut next, who's going to be there, that once you double team them, you're doing them a favor because they want the game to be slowed down and they're not going to panic.
Because they've seen it all.
Exactly.
They've seen it all already. So it's like not really anything to really throw them as much, but it's what it is.
Yeah, like as long as... Last thing about Chris Paul, but if Chris Paul is able to get 8 to 10 assists a game, which at the age that he's at, I think he's still able to do, and get at least 8 to 10 points a game, the Warriors can still be good. They just need to find another guy that can score on a level that Andrew Wiggins was scoring when they won the championship 2 years ago.
I want to say because I seen one thing somebody said. They said they still have the same problems. No big man other than Kevin Looney. No big man. And they have no front court scoring.
Yeah.
None. They really don't. Because Wiggins, he doesn't really up his scoring until the postseason. But regular season, who's your front court player to score? Draymond? Hell no. Kevin Looney? Now, Looney in the playoffs, that's... He's a different breed, but I'm still not expecting him scoring the ball. But you have no front court scoring. That's no big man and no front court scoring. So it's easy to stop that because it means you just worry about Steph and Clay.
I agree. With the playoffs this year, it was easy to defend that team because Clay's not playing good. Jordan's not playing good. None of your role players are playing good. The only player that's playing good is Steph. So you can get away with putting Vanderbilt on him, then having Dennis Schroeder on him, then bringing him, the three-headed monster that they had in that series with Dennis, Vando, and AD, because you know that these guys are not catching their stride as they usually are. So you can get away with them being offensive liabilities because the Warriors are not coming down and hitting shots. So when you're able to contain that, it's over for the Warriors. And I wanted to go back to a point that you made earlier about Steph. I think without Steph, their movement would still be fine because you can't forget about how Klay Thompson and his off-ball movements and him not really needing the ball that much to get open, and then Draymond still being there.
You gotta remember, Klay tore his Achilles and his ACL. He's not that same fast off-ball player like he used to be. Steph, he's never really had an injury that severe, so where he always has that. Mm. He always has that, but Warriors next year, whatever, they gotta do something free agency for me to really have to. It's really hard for me to project most things, except Denver. Denver, I feel like, is going to be one of the better teams anyway, because they're not losing that many guys. They're not losing that many guys. So Bruce Brown is the only guy that they're really – they should try to – they have to get back because he's so vital to what they can do, what they do. He's vital to get them back. But once he – if Denver, they respectfully can run it back with the same team, except probably get, like, a few more pieces. I'll probably back up big man.
They still got Thomas Bryant from the knowledge that I know, but I don't know if he's still there.
I think he's a free agent, but he wasn't really that good for Denver. He was good for LA, but he wasn't good for Denver. But hey, Thomas Bryant, he's a young big man. It is what it is. Denver, what they want to do, they probably want to start out good and then they coast like they did this year just to make the playoffs. Like, not nah, just like no 4 seed, but they want to be like one of the top 3 seeds so they get home court and then they coast because that's what they did last year. Because I remember literally once they very much clinched up that number 1 seed, they started not playing hard basketball, they stopped really trying, and then people seen them lose 4 straight. Then they lost to the Spurs and Chicago. And then you remember people kept running pick and rolls on Jokic. They were like, aha, we figured it out. We got him. We got Denver. Denver's not good. All you got to do is spam pick and rolls on Jokic. How did that work in the playoffs? Didn't work that well. It didn't work that well. Why? Because Jokic actually is a pretty better defender than we think he is. He's a really better defender than we think he is. But that's besides the point. I think it's time for the next topic. Top 10 shooting guards list.
Oh, I forgot. I forgot about that list. That really did.
How you forget about that?
Because it's been so long.
Yeah, that's true. Because remember, we're doing shooting guards. What was it? Centers, power forwards, and small forwards. Mm-hmm. Then we're doing our top 20.
Let's see.
So stay tuned for that.
Let me get to
it. I did 13.
I think I did 11.
I did 10 with 3 honorable mentions.
Hold on. Where'd it go?
I'll just mention my 13 and 12, and then we could just go off that.
All right, yeah. Hold on.
You want me to go just start off with the two?
Start off with your two. Cause I gotta find
that's why I put it on my notes. 13. Yeah. I have Tyler Hero.
I found it.
13, I have Tyler Hero.
All right, so I did 12. I had 13, but I didn't put the 13th is just left blank. So,
well, I have Tyler Hero 13. Afternoon Simons number 12.
I have KCP at 12.
Oh my God, KCP?
Mm-hmm.
You have KCP? You have KCP over Tyler and Afternoon?
Because with Afernee, I can understand.
Afernee shot 10 threes a game, shot like 42% for three.
It's
22 points per game. He's better than KCP. KCP has him defensively, but Afernee is a better individual player.
Because he's
a better player than KCP. I understand your point.
Yeah, I think with KCP, when you talk about shooting, yes, Simons, yes, he was shooting more volume of threes, but I think with that being said, that was his role in Portland. And what I mean by that is, you want him to be the second best scorer on that team because Jermaine Grant, Jeremy Grant. I'm terrible with names. Jesus Christ. Grant.
I am too. So.
He's not going to be that guy that he was because you have Dame, then you have Simons. So he's just going to gradually lead into the third guy. Then their starting center, Nurkic, kept on getting injured. So then Eubanks would come in and play. Like, I like what KCP did as a role player because he played as a very a very good role player shooting 40% from the three and 18. I think he averaged like 18 points per game. It's not as much as.
I don't think he averaged 18. I'm pretty sure he averaged like 13.
Like 13 or 14. But we, as I'm not saying like us, but we as a NBA society gave Andrew Wiggins an all-star, his first all-star appearance when he was averaging 18. So I think when it comes to leadway, because in that season, yes, he was playing the best that he did in his career, but
he averaged 10.
I still think shooting is very valuable.
10-2-2.
That's like what I, because
10-2-2.
When you talk about the different positions, shooting guard, what most people really look at is scoring. Like you don't really look at
shooting
too.
In the name.
Yeah. So with that being said, and it's kind of all over the place right now, I really like what KCP did with his shooting. And yes, it wasn't as flashy as Simons was with shooting more threes, but he was a pivotal part towards his team that he was constantly hitting those threes and he was able to produce at a level where I think 12 is respectable for him. Now, I will agree. I think Simons, I would have Simons over him, but
for your list, you got him.
Yeah.
So you have, KCP over Tyler Hero?
Yeah, because you got injured for most part of the season.
No, he was healthy for the season. It was postseason he was going for.
So, yeah.
Who's your 11?
11, I had Buddy Hield.
Yeah, let's get a little shaky. Let's get a little shaky. I got Clay.
I had Clay a ton.
Oh. I think you're probably missing a lot of shooting guards if you got Buddy Hield at 11. You're missing a lot of guys.
Yeah, Buddy Hield, for me, it goes back to the shooting. Because what is...
Other than Steph and Clay, I think Buddy Hield is the best three-point shooter in the league.
So when you pair that up with a guy like that Tyrese. Can facilitate like Tyrese Haliburton, it spaces out the floor so much because it's not like he's good in just one spot. He's good at shooting the three all around.
Off the dribble. Catch and shoot.
And so on and so forth. So when you have a guy like that that can score in the three-point department and be efficient while he's doing that, it's going to be pretty important when it comes to rating him over other players. Like, yeah, Tyler Hero might be averaging, I'm just saying numbers. Yeah, he might be averaging 26-5 and shooting this from the field and that from the perimeter. But when you have a guy that's shooting that well and you have him in the same conversation as Steph Curry or Klay Thompson, I would be fine with that. And the reason I'd be fine with that is you have other guys outside of them that can do what Tyler Hero is doing as a unit. You have Miles Turner who can rebound. You have Tyrese Haliburton who can assist. So when you have him shooting at such an elite level, he's excelling at what he's good at, and that's shooting the ball. And that's why I think he deserves a top 15 spot as a shooting guard, because I think he was shooting like 44%.
Yeah, but he was always he's a 40% shooter.
Yeah,
he's 40%. You don't mean I left that, but I respect it because personally, how I rank my list is guys as an individual player.
Mm-hmm.
Like you looked at it more as a team perspective, who you want on your team. I look at it more as an individual, in which honestly both departments is respectable. It's both respectable which way you look at it. I just looked at it more as at the individual player who I think is better.
Yeah. And I respect that too.
And I'm not even disrespecting your list, but I'm like, I thought we were coming in thinking of player wise. Like, because that's why I was surprised. I'm like, yeah, KCP over Simons, which team perspective wise, KCP can fit much better on a bunch of teams because he can play defense. But Simons, if you're talking about a guy you'd rather have. I think a lot of people
would pick Simons.
Yes.
Yeah.
A lot of people to be Simons. Same thing with Tyler.
Yeah, I agree.
In some ways, but I get what you're coming from. But my number 10 is Desmond Bane.
I have Desmond Bane at 9.
Okay. But just to give a brief summary of Desmond Bane, he's a good three-point shooter. Not a bad defender. He's constantly improving. Because I think this is pretty much one of his best season in his career so far. He can get better. He get better at the basket. He become a better defender, even though it's kind of hard with those T-Rex arms.
Yeah. But he's able to drive, though. And I really like that about him. He's able to drive. And he's able to spot up and shoot. And he's able to move around.
Off the dribble.
Yeah.
He's one of the best corner three-point shooters in the league, too.
Yeah. So that's going to help a lot when you have Ja driving and he doesn't have a lane, nor
Desmond's going to be the number one option for Memphis to drive this back, technically. And for me to get it at 9, I have Tyrese Maxey.
Okay, so hold on, because all right, I'm at 8. So 8 for mine is DeJounte Murray.
I said 9. Who's a 9?
It's Desmond Bane for me.
Who was 10?
10 was Claire.
Okay. So you have Maxey higher?
No. Maxey as a point guard.
He counts as a shooting guard.
So
you had Maxey as a point?
Yeah, because I was thinking about it. Because I was about to put James on the list. But then I was like, in that system, James. Because at moments, they had Tyrese playing point.
But I'm talking about because that's why I looked at NBA.com and looked at who majority of minutes played at
what
position. Because when I threw my list the first time, I was looking, I said, I'm forgetting somebody. I said PG, because PG actually plays shooting guard. But sometimes they have him at small forward. Mm-hmm. I'm like, but he's shooting guard for the Clippers. So I looked at the most recent games when he played, what was he playing? Shooting guard.
Yeah.
Shooting guard. I even looked at 2K, what was he at? Shooting guard. So I said he's a shooting guard. So I was wondering, I'm forgetting somebody. Yeah. Maxey, he's a shooting guard because Harden plays the point. Shooting guard's more, he's a scorer. Maxey's more scored than Harden is. So, but we're revising.
Yeah. I'll revise mine because I can definitely add James in there. But I'm gonna just spitball mine from 1 through 10. So I have Clay at 10, Desmond at 9, DeJounte at 8, Austin Reeves at 7, Brad at 6, Zach at 5, Jaylen Brown at 4, Ant at 3, Dono at 2, D-Book at 1.
I've only one question.
Mm-hmm.
Austin Reeves?
Yeah, Austin Reeves.
Hold on. He had a good second half the regular season. And that was granted they had a weak schedule.
Mm-hmm.
The playoffs, he was good. But I can't say that's good enough for me to put him over DeJounte, because DeJounte is a better defender, better point of attack defender. He isn't a better shooter. DeJounte with ball in hands is the better playmaker, better rebounder. He's better getting at the rim. So I can't really take Austin Reeves over DeJounte. That's the only problem, because you had every, because you don't, I think DeJounte, yeah, Austin Reeves was the, DeJounte was the only person you had below Austin Reeves I can not see right now. But you know what? I forgot. You based your list on team situation, not player.
Yeah, I think.
And Reeves, if that's the case, then Reeves is up there. He's definitely up there. Who you want on your team? Because Reeves can play off the ball. He can play make, drive, pass. He's a good passer. He's a solid defender. He's not someone I expect to lock down Steph Curry, but he isn't Poole. He isn't Tyler. Where I'm like, oh, I'm worried about this guy. No, he holds his own. But who did you have after?
After Reeves.
Reeves was what, 7?
Yeah. Then I had Bradley Beal, Zach LaVine, Jaylen Brown, Ant, Dono, and Devin Booker.
That's because I had my 10 was Desmond, Maxey, Shante, Brad, Levine, Brown, Ant, PG, D-Mitch, D-Book.
Yeah. So, like, I think D-Mitch and D-Book are consensus one and two. No doubt about it, especially what D-Book was doing in the playoffs. It was just – he was the first person.
Because I remember seeing people saying they were, like, neck and neck.
Yeah.
And then, but D-Mitch's performance against the Knicks, it kind of made him solidify himself as two because he played really poorly. Granted, his team didn't have spacing, unlike the Suns. But D-Book played so good, man. You really can't say he can't be. He's not the best shooting guard in the league. If you think he's not, I think he's just a hater. You just don't like him because he does his little antics and all that. Then the Lucas situation last year. Booker was playing his best basketball, so he sprained his ankle in game five against Denver. Once he sprained his ankle, he was never the same. That's just my pitch. But PG over Ant, that's going to change. That's going to change. I fully believe that's going to change. I'm going to take a PG over Ant because PG, defense, playmaker. He's a better playmaker, shooter. But Ant, I know for a fact that it's going to be top three next year. He's going to be top three next year. Brown, I feel like between after four, it's a gap. Because Brown and Ant's a better dribbler, can be a better defender, better finisher, shooter.
I would give the edge to Ant. And the reason I'd give the edge to Ant is because Jaylen Brown has days where he can't make the hoop to save his life, but he will keep on shooting because he has the shooter mentality and he's the second option on that team. So you expect him to get going at some point. And then when you see him have spurts of him getting going, you're like, okay, like he's getting his percentage back because with the shots that you miss, there's a point in time where you're going to be making 5 to 6 shots in a row, and then it's just going to better your percentage because the more shots that you put up, but the shots that you're making that you're putting up is just going to make your percentage better. So you look at it from like an average spec or from an average standpoint, and you're like, oh, okay, Jaylen Brown shot 50%. It took him 18 shots to get to that 50%, but he still shot 50% from the field. I think when you look at game seven, especially game seven, where you take away Jaylen Brown's pull-up game,
his right hand,
and the three, Jaylen Brown doesn't really have anything that you can offer to him.
He's not a playmaker. He's not really a passer. Ant can be a better passer. Ant can get better at Jaylen Brown. I think this is kind of what you expect from him at this point.
Yeah.
And then Levine.
Levine's Brown's just a great scorer.
He's a good scorer, but I would take Levine as a scorer, but Jaylen Brown's a better defender.
Yeah, I agree with that.
And Beal, I lower because of his injuries.
Yeah.
His injuries. And then in the past 3 years, he really hasn't been that same. If Beal's averaging his 30, I would take Beal over Levine. But he dropped his scoring, and his injuries kind of hindered him. So it's like I can't really put Beal over Levine. But
and then that, going back to
I kind of like, my shooting guard list. I don't really see anything I can change.
Mm-hmm.
But if I had to remake it how yours is, guys like Tyler and Simons would be very low.
Mm-hmm.
But Clay as well. Clay would be lower because Clay in the playoffs, he showed me he can shoot you out of a game.
Man. Yeah, and that's literally
after game two against the Lakers, he didn't shoot good from three not once. He won them one game and disappeared. But you know what? That's Clay. One thing I always laugh about with my friend is I said Clay does a lot of talking for a guy who's never really played that good in the finals. He really hasn't, if you really think about it. We talk about 2016 Steph and his blunder. Why don't we talk about Clay? What did he do in that finals? Do you have one memorable game from 2016 finals from Clay? No. 2015, he was... Oh, 2015, he was really bad. Bless
you. Thank you.
Shut up. 2017, he wasn't that good. 2018, he wasn't that good. So it's like... 2019, he was good. 2019, he was good. He actually had a case for finals MVP if they actually won. He actually was really good. And in game six, he was going off towards ACL. 2022, I think he had one good game. But personally, Klay Thompson, he's really good. But kind of overrated him a little bit. Especially now because he's not that same defender he used to be. Because if he was that same defender, then I'd say, oh, yeah, he's above guys like Maxey. If he was still that same defender. Because I'm like, hey, he can shoot his 3-for-11, but I know he's a first-team all-defender type. Even though he's never made it. Which is kind of disrespectful because Klay Thompson's prime was a really good defender. Which honestly shocks me so much thinking about it, because it's like, dang, that ACL and Achilles really ruined a good player, man. Because Klay can shoot, he still has a shooting touch, but that him losing his step on defense hurts so much. And then his age too. So it's like you knew eventually he was not gonna be able to be the same defender because his age, but the ACL and Achilles, it just kind of makes it worse. He's still not a trash defender where I'm like, I can't play him because I know he's gonna get abused certain matches, but he isn't that same guy.
And everyone's bodies is different coming back from an injury like that, where I know a lot of people are bringing up Jamal Murray. And how he came back from his ACL, and he looks like a beast.
That's just modern science, man. That's just our day and age, man.
Yeah,
you got guys like KD. I'm be honest. I don't think he'll be 100% back to who he used to be. But then I thought about it. I said his game is rely on athleticism, like a DeMarcus Cousins.
Mm-hmm.
Cousins, his game was athleticism, so I think that's why it was hard for him to come back. Then towards ACL, I'm like, oh yeah, he's done. But KD, he came back like he never got hurt. Granted, he definitely took a step back defensively, but that's just his age. So kind of expect that. Same thing with LeBron. After 30, LeBron defensively, he took step backs, but he knows when to turn it on. LeBron can still be a really good defender when you need it, but he can't keep doing it. He's 38, man. 38. You can't expect a 38-year-old man to play lockdown defense all regular season. Expect 25 points or 27 points or whatever, 30 points or whatever. Him to assist it, rebound it, defend it. You can't expect that at 38. You can't expect that. I don't know who has that expectation for him anymore. If you do, and you say he's not top the greatest of all time, then I don't know what to say to you. Because you're crazy for expecting a 39-year-old to do all that. You're crazy.
At one point, he was averaging 28. I don't know how many rebounds and assists that
he was averaging 30 again this year until his foot injury. He was averaging 30 again. So he's still good. It's just that he just keeps getting hurt at the wrong times. Then last year, team was so trash. It is what it is, man. It is what it is. Just to ask a quick question, do I think he'll win another one? I don't know.
I don't think he will.
I think this year was probably his best last chance. I honestly think this year was his last chance.
Yeah.
Not to cut you off, but.
No, you go.
Because they beat Denver. I think they beat us. Just not being a biased fan. Do I think we would have a better chance being the Lakers than Denver? Yeah, I think we had a better chance. I think we would have a way better chance being Denver. Yeah, we had a way better chance. But it'd be the same issue again with from 2020. Who's guarding AD? Yeah, we put Bam on, but then who's guarding LeBron? Caleb Martin? Jimmy? Because if we got Jimmy guarding him after... Jesus Christ, I'm getting frustrated saying when Josh Hart, shoelace tackled him, back in the second round and hurt his foot because he wanted to flop. Then he did it again. I didn't know that. It's the second video of him doing it again. Josh Hart's a dirty player. He lost my respect. I used to like that guy, but now I don't like him. Because I forgot.
His shoelaces are just flailing everywhere.
I forgot who said it, but one I remember it was some of my basketball player who said. He said guys play dirty to make up for their skill. Josh Hart, he sucked. He couldn't shoot that whole series. So what'd he do? Play dirty. Injure our best guy. Game one. The last time we saw Jimmy be effective was game one and two against Boston. After that, he really wasn't same. But he was always dealing with the ankle injury. He was always dealing with it. So, because watch highlights from the Bucks in game one against the Knicks before his ankle injury, and then watch the rest of the playoffs and tell me that's not the same guy. That's the same guy. I want you to tell me that's the same guy because it's not. That same lift he had on his jump shot, it's not there. I literally see photos. His ankle looked like this. It was swollen, bro. You have it. It's ridiculous, man. Josh Hart ruined a really great playoff run, but it is what it is, man. I enjoyed it, man. I enjoyed that playoff.
Injuries is part of the game. It's part of the game.
I'm not making excuses, but I just want to see Jimmy at 100%. That's all I want.
Yeah, nah, that's understandable. I think if the Lakers' chances, I think their best chance was this year and going into the playoffs, they looked really good. D'Angelo Russell he looked great. He looked really good. So when you have a guy that was looking good in all the aspects that you needed in the point guard, then Malik Beasley coming in and the way that he was looking at shooting guard, being able to shoot the three and making at least three threes in the game and then moving it all down. The problem was when things came mundane, when things became boring for them, and what I mean by that is where it was just one guy producing, the other guys couldn't find a way to produce. And I feel like that is a commonality for a LeBron James team, to where he is constantly the only guy that is able to do what he needs to do on both sides of the court, but it's not enough because he's the only guy that's doing it. Like, imagine if Vando was scoring what Kevin Looney was doing. Imagine if
she can't rebound a guy like that.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Or like with him being able, because he played great defensively, but he couldn't stay out because he couldn't do anything offensively. So, and then AD, every time you look up, he's having a problem with scoring. Yes, he's getting 10 rebounds a game, but he's
playing great defense, but
you can't score consistently with them. So I think it's time to where you have to bring in a young guard that knows how to space out the floor and make other players better while they're there. Because you already have a guy in LeBron that is a great leader. You already have a guy in AD who can defend, can play offense when he wants to play offense. So now
wants.
Yeah, so now you just gotta build around that. But I think the best time for them was this year, and that window is just closing faster and faster. But I do say LeBron, as of right now, LeBron is my GOAT.
He's been my GOAT since 2016. Man. After that, it was just solidified. He's after 2016. He's been my GOAT. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. I listen to the conversation. Like I tell people all the time, I'm not going to force up on you. I'm not going to tell you, God say he is. If you don't say it, I'll probably with you. I don't like you. Because I've seen people on the internet say they lost friendships over the GOAT debate. And I said, that's insane.
Yeah, one, nah, that's crazy.
Insane because I say it's never that serious. So there's no debate I could possibly have where I'm going to say I can't talk to that person anymore. Because, honestly, if I talk to somebody and they just talking gibberish, I just don't take it serious anymore. Just stop the conversation. But all I tell people is, as long as he's in the top five, I can't wait. If he got five, fool me. I'm not gonna talk to you. But once you get to saying he ain't top 10, all right, let me sit up in my chair and let me talk to you. Let me break it down to you how you're stupid.
Literally.
Because, like, I don't even want to talk about it. Because, like, it's self-explanatory. Look at his stats. Look at him. Just look at him.
You don't even have to do that. Just, like, look at the teams that he played for and ask yourself, how'd you get to the final? How did he get
to the final? Actually, forget that. Look at his peers talk to him. Look at his peers. Not his team guys who played. Look at Steph. Look at KD. Guys who literally looked at him. Guys, bro. Steph was at LeBron's camp, and the man's still playing. And Steph's, 5 years younger than him? Like, come on, bro. Like, what are we doing? Like, the man's been dominant since I was born. Since I was one, bro.
He's losing in those finals, but it's like, you can't even discredit him for it. Like,
the only one LeBron is 2011. That one you put on him, I cannot blame him. I can't blame anyone
for Mavericks him. Were just better executing.
No, I don't want to. Yeah.
They're executing better than
I said Denver. Dallas, they had schemed on him, but I don't know. But that's LeBron and his prime. That's different if he's old. If he was like 38-year-old him, then I'm like, okay, they can scheme for that because they know he can't shoot. Mm-hmm. And his athleticism is going to carry him. But that's peak him. That's his prime. That's when he was like 25, 26.
Mm-hmm.
He's just coming off what, averaging 30 on Boston. So you're telling me he just, like, he dominated the Bulls the series before. So what happened? I genuinely want to know what happened where he just – I might have to watch the film over this one of the finals game, but I won't talk about that. I think it's time to get to the last topic of the day. I know you NFL fans were looking forward to it because the series went through it. We did the AFC. We did the NFC North last week. It's time to do the AFC North. Now, let me just get this out the way. As much as it pains me to say this, I have the Bengals winning the division.
Ooh.
The Ravens second, and the Browns third, and the Steelers finishing last.
I got Ravens first.
Wait, one last thing. Mm-hmm. This will be Mike Tomlin's first under 500 season, I believe. Not even hating on, but I just honestly looking at the schedule, I think this will be the first one he finishes below 500. He'll finish 7-10. But you know what? Who I know, man. I've seen him care. He had Mason Rudolph as his quarterback and somehow got over 500 wins. 500%. So, I don't know. That's just me going off right now. And the reason why, and honestly, the Ravens and Bengals tie with the same amount of wins. And the only reason why Bengals lose a lot of these games, lose the five games they lost, is because their secondary got worse because they lost Jesse Bates. And that means a lot.
Yeah.
Losing Jesse Bates, you go against teams that are air raid offenses. That's the one good safety you just lost. They lost both safeties, actually. They lost both safeties. I forgot what the other strong safety, what the guy's name was. It doesn't matter. I just know he was good for them, and he played a lot of snaps, so. Let's get to it, man.
Yeah, I think I got the Ravens winning the division. I think the Bengals will come in second.
Browns third.
I think the Steelers are going to be. I think the Steelers are going to finish third, and then the Browns are going to finish fourth. I think the Browns are going to finish fourth. Browns will be much better, but I think it's going to be one of those divisions where. I think every team in that division is going to be over 500, and it's going to be a dogfight throughout the whole season, and one loss will thicken that gap a lot because of the skill gap between all of those teams, because all of those teams have good defenses. And then Jadeveon Clowney, we still got to see how that's going to pan out in Cleveland. But Deshaun's going to have a better year. I think Kenny's going to have a better year. And then we don't have to speak on Joe and Lamar.
I mean, based on the Browns, they can end up winning the division if you really think about it. Based on what Deshaun Watson they get. If they get Deshaun Watson a year before he took his little break because of his issues.
Yeah.
That's a really good quarterback. That's a top five quarterback right there. But let's not talk about the politics of what he did off the court. Let's just talk strictly football for this conversation. Let me bring up who you want to do first.
We can do Baltimore first because I'm pulling up their schedule right now.
Ravens, where are they at? Baltimore Ravens. Because I remember exactly what had them. I remember exactly.
Let's see. I'll start it off. They play the Texans at Baltimore.
That's a win.
I have them winning. So 1-0. Then I have them going 2-0. I think they go into Cincinnati and they beat Cincinnati.
No, I think Cincinnati has that.
Okay. The Colts and the Ravens. I think they beat the Colts.
Oh, I was about to say, you got Colts? You got Anthony Richardson. Was it in Baltimore? It's in Baltimore, or is it?
Yeah, it's in Baltimore.
Oh, I was say that's a bold statement. Think Anthony Richardson's gonna week three beat Baltimore in Baltimore? Yeah.
Nah, I think if it was like a week eight, week nine, I think he'd be able to do it. But right now, the offensive line kind of deteriorated a little bit, and then you lose your best corner in that system, which was Stephon Gilmore. So there's questions around that. And then there's a lot of stuff that needs to be fixed with that team, but I have Baltimore winning that game. Then they play Cleveland at Cleveland. I have them losing that game.
I have them winning.
So
they are now 3-1 for me.
Yeah,
I'll be honest, they go on a win streak.
Yeah. They're 3-1 for me also. Then they play the Steelers at Pittsburgh. I got them losing Pittsburgh. So now they're 3-2 for me.
Ooh, you tripping. They beat Pittsburgh. I had them sweeping Pittsburgh. I think they split. They split with Bengals. I had them splitting with Bengals and Browns. I think they sweep as well. No, I think I have to split with the Browns.
So right now I have them 3-2. Titans, I have them beating the Titans at Tennessee, so 4-2. And then you would have them beating. I would hope that you would have them beating the Titans.
Oh yeah, absolutely. It's in Tennessee or it's in Baltimore.
It's in Tennessee.
They beat the Titans, by the way. I don't know why I asked that.
Detroit. I think I had Detroit beating Baltimore. Baltimore. I think Baltimore gets Detroit at Baltimore. They beat the Cardinals.
Yep.
I think they beat the Seahawks.
Yep.
The Browns, they play Browns at Baltimore. They get back, so they split it with Cleveland. They also split it with the Bengals. Mm-hmm. Chargers. The Chargers
is it at LA or?
Yeah, it's at LA.
Chargers, if they improve their run defense, it's Baltimore.
I got Baltimore because the Chargers, when it gets late into the season, there's a lot of question marks when it comes to injuries.
And their run defense. Have they improved that or not? Because that's one of the biggest weaknesses, their run defense. If they don't improve that, I know what's going to happen.
And then the Rams, they beat the Rams. Jaguars, the last game of the season, I have the Jaguars.
I had them losing that game to the Jags.
For me, I have them just redo this. Let's see. 1-0. Oh, my God. Did not mean to do that. 1-0, 2-1, 3-0, 3-1, 3-2, 4-2, 5-2, 6-2, 7-2, 7-3, 7-4, 8-4, 9-4. And then they play the 49ers at San Fran.
I've been losing that game.
I think they go, they get their 10th win here.
In San Francisco. Oh, no, they don't. I didn't have them sweeping up Pittsburgh. They lose the last game of the season, Pittsburgh, because they rest their guys.
And then
Miami. I had them winning.
I'm concerned about Tua. I'm really concerned about that, and I don't know how that will look with another quarterback in that system. Like, Mike McDaniels is an offensive guru, and he has the weapons to do that, and defensively. Actually, I'll give it to Miami. I'll give it to Miami. So I have Miami.
I'm taking Baltimore. But then Baltimore loses last game of season. In Baltimore, it's just Pittsburgh because they rest their guys.
I got Baltimore winning that Steelers game at Baltimore. So with that being said, let me do this one more time. 1-0, 2-0, 3-1, 3-2, 4-2, 5-2, 6-2, 7-2, 8-2, 8-3, 9-3, 10-3, 10-4, 11-4, 11-5, 11-6. I have them going 11-6.
11-6, I have them 12-5.
12-5, okay. We can do the Bengals next. Let's see what the Bengals schedule is looking like. So, Bengals, they play the Browns week one at Cleveland. I have them winning that game.
Bengals, I had them losing.
Okay. They play Baltimore at home. I have Baltimore winning that game.
They beat Baltimore.
Okay. So for me, for both of us, they're 1-1.
Mm-hmm.
The Rams, I have them beating the Rams. And then
they beat the Rams. Yeah, they beat the Rams, of course.
So they're 2-1 for the both of us. They play at Tennessee. They go 3-1.
Yeah, they went nuts.
They play the Cardinals. They go 4-1. Seahawks at home.
In Seattle?
Nah, the Bengals are at home.
What's that, week what? 4?
That is
week 5. I had them winning.
I have the Seahawks winning that game. I think they're gonna shake a few heads with the acquisition of Jackson Smith and Jigba. I think they pull off that game. So right now they are 4-1, 1-0, 1-1, 2-1, 3-1, 4-1, 4-2.
You're 4-1 for me.
They play the 49ers at San Fran.
They lose that game.
I have them winning that game. So.
So, wait. You know what? Tied to your opinion, man. Because I'm like, that's great. That's kind of agrees with me. So you have see them losing at Seattle, but they lose.
No, they're at home against Seattle.
Oh yeah. They absolutely win that game, man. I think they're on the road.
I think Seattle, they come in with a slightly better pass defense. And I think they will still be able to get the job done. Now, the thing about it is going to be who's going to be able to sack the quarterback more. I think that's going to be very pivotal. And then depending on the situation with Joe Mixon, if they haven't resolved that yet.
I haven't heard anything about them not fixing it, so I think they probably got it.
So with Samaje Perine, he has had a couple games where he's looked okay, but I would give the edge to Kenneth Walker if it's sticking with Samaje Perine.
He's not. I think he's nice. Did he get more carries than Joe? I think he got more carries in the championship game.
I think so.
I think he did. He got more carries or touches or something like that. Might be wrong.
So they play San Francisco. Have them winning against San Francisco.
Ignore that.
Then they play Buffalo at home.
I have Buffalo winning as well, because like I said, that's an example of Buffalo going against a team that secondary is kind of weak.
Yeah,
Diggs, Gabe, Davis. Didn't they draft a tight end?
Yeah,
they drafted a tight end. I like the tight end they drafted.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this is trolling aside, I honestly believe this is like a revenge year for Buffalo, because they're like tired, they're pissed off, because this is 3 years in a row that they don't achieve. 2 years ago, they haven't got back to the championship game. I think this is Allen's kind of been on like a downhill because he's looked bad for the past 2 years compared to the year when he broke out, when he was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's like, I think this is the year that they kind of prove something.
Yeah.
I can't wait to talk about the AFC East. I'm going to have to make somebody list, because if we get D-Hop, Dalvin Cook, Jesus Christ, I think we finished second in the division.
Whoa.
If we get Dalvin Cook and D-Hop, I believe we finished second in the
division. So, yeah, we're gonna have to wait. I had the Bengals. I had the Bengals and the Ravens splitting. Before that, they played the Texans. I think they beat the Texans.
Come on, we ain't got to talk about that.
And they're at home, too. After they play the Ravens at home, they play the Steelers. And I think the Steelers win at Cincinnati.
You're crazy.
I know. I'm delusional.
Yeah, definitely delusional. I think they split. I had them splitting. I think in Pittsburgh, Pittsburgh gets them.
And then after Pittsburgh, they play Jacksonville at Jacksonville.
Bengals. I just don't buy into the Jacksonville hype. Personally, I don't. Mm-hmm. I don't. I really don't. Yeah, they were good last year, but they played in a really bad division.
Yeah,
They're going to continue to take care of that, because who's really a threat in the AFC South? You got two young quarterbacks, a mid quarterback. You got the best quarterback in the division. It's not close. So I believe they're going to win the division again. So it's going to – they could finish 10-7 again and still win the division comfortably, because I feel like Tennessee, receiving their offense, their receiving-wise, I'm getting off topic. We're talking about the AFC. We can talk about the South whenever.
Yeah. When we get there. I got the Jags winning that game in Jacksonville.
Oh.
Colts and the Bengals. I got the Bengals winning.
Bengals.
I don't remember if I had the Vikings beating the Bengals, but I think the Bengals take care of business.
The Bengals take it, because the Vikings defense is putrid. And yeah. I expect Joe Burrow to go throw for 400.
Then they play the Steelers at Pittsburgh. I also have them split in against Pittsburgh. They play Kansas City at Kansas City. I think Kansas City gets that one.
It's hard for me to really do that, because I swear Bengals play Kansas City so well.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like hard for me to even like – I'm be honest, when I was doing this, I was sitting here for like a good 5 minutes thinking like, dang. So I feel like if I take Kansas City, I'm going strictly based off the last playoff matchup. But the Bengals pretty much – be honest with you, they kind of own KC like the past couple years. Got once in the playoffs, got them twice in the regular season. And I don't know. I think I took Kansas City. Just for that.
And then the last game of the season, Browns and the Bengals. I have the Bengals winning that. So I think the Bengals sweep this season series with Cleveland.
Ooh, that's a rough one. That's a rough one. I think, yeah, because I had Bengals winning week one. Mm-hmm. No, losing the week one, so they split it with the Browns. Pretty much the Bengals split with everybody. They split with everybody in their division. Three of their five losses come in division. That's all. That's how I looked at it. And then they lose to the Bills, and then they lose to the Chiefs. And after that, I don't see anybody else beating the Bengals.
I looked up the Cleveland Browns schedule, but I forgot to put schedule when I was putting Cleveland Brown.
You looked at the Cleveland Brown show?
Yeah. So with the Browns, I had them losing. I have them getting swept by the Bengals. Then you have the Browns winning week one against the Bengals, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so they play the Steelers at Pittsburgh week two.
Browns starting 3-0.
Oh, I have them starting 1-2. I think I really have high hopes for the Steelers this year, but they get back on track against Tennessee. And then after Tennessee, they play Baltimore at home.
What was that, week three or week four?
That's week four.
Oh, I had them losing Baltimore.
Okay. And I had them splitting against Baltimore. They play San Francisco at home.
They lose that game as well.
I think that I don't know if it's me hating on San Francisco, but I got them beating.
Why? What's your problem with San Francisco? What's your problem with San Francisco?
Well, because San Francisco lost a decent amount of guys on the defensive side, and yes, that they can.
Who did lose?
They lost. They lost Emmanuel Mosley, and then they lost. I think they lost the safety.
No, they did. That made the All Pro. No, they got him back. He's back.
Okay.
They lost. I know who you're talking about, but I don't think he. I think he wasn't that good.
Okay.
Anymore, but they got. They still got the All Pro.
But yeah, they lost Emmanuel Mosley. Then I think they lost a linebacker too, and then
I think they lost an offensive lineman.
Yeah, I was just about to bring that up.
But they got Javon Hargrave as a D tackle.
Yeah.
The Eagles, they got him.
And then
and he had 10 sacks last year, so they got another pass rusher.
Yeah.
To pair up with Armstead, Nick. So it's like he improved somewhere. He improved somewhere.
Yeah.
And they still got Fred Warner. What's his name? I forgot the corner's name. He played for the Chiefs first, then he went to Nas. Jadavious Ward. You still got I forgot the safety's name. I have to actually read.
Yeah, you're talking about the Hawaiian dude.
Yeah, I get his name, so I messed up, and I don't want to mess it up, so I'm not gonna say it.
So after that, they play the Colts at Indy.
That's easy. That's easy, Browns.
I agree with you on that. Seahawks at Seattle.
What's that week? What?
That is week six.
I'm sure it's a W.
Seven. Week seven, my bad.
It's a W. Still a W.
Yeah, I agree. I think their rushing game just blows Seattle out the water. And then when you look at defensively, I think it's going to be a tough time for Myles Garrett to be contained. I think Cleveland is going to – they're going to play Myles Garrett on both sides.
Because right Browns still have a good offensive line. They still have a pretty good offensive line.
Yeah.
They still do. So it's going to be pretty difficult for – I mean, Seattle doesn't really have any pass rushes anyway. But Seattle's strength is the defensive backs.
Yeah.
That's their strength. But the Browns, they're just going to run it down the throats. With Nick Chubb, they're just gonna run it.
They play Arizona at home.
Just skip it over. We know that's a dumb shoot.
I got them splitting with the Ravens, like I said.
I had them splitting with the Ravens.
I think I said I had them splitting with the Steelers. If not, they split with the Steelers.
I think I didn't have them splitting with the Steelers.
They play Denver at Denver. I have them beating Denver at Denver.
Denver? I think I had them beating Denver as well.
Okay. And then I have them beating the Rams. The Jaguars at Cleveland. I think Cleveland gets it done.
Cleveland gets it done.
Chicago at Cleveland. I think Cleveland gets it done.
Cleveland gets it done.
Browns at the Texans. I think Browns get it done.
Oh, I swear I thought she was going to say Texans get it done.
The Jets and the Browns. I have the Jets.
I have the Jets.
Browns and the Bengals. And I think I said I had the Bengals sweeping the Browns, right?
Yeah, I had them splitting.
So let's.
But the Browns finished 11-6. So it's going to be like the top three are pretty much the heavyweights. I believe all three make the playoffs.
Let's see what the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Oh, Jesus, that's going to be tough. Oh, God. I got to actually.
The first game. First game, they play San Francisco.
L.
I got them getting a big win in Pitt. I got them beating San Francisco. I got them beating San Francisco.
You what?
I have the Pittsburgh Steelers week one beating San Francisco. The thing that's holding me up for me offensively for San Francisco is Debo Samuel. I have Pittsburgh beating San Francisco. I will put my money where my mouth is. I just think
What's that three now? Because we have whoever finishes last in the division. You had the Rams out of the Cardinals. We got that one.
It was someone with the Vikings. I forgot what team that they're playing.
I'd look at the Vikings schedule, but I know it was some ridiculous team that you had them beating.
It was Kansas City. I think it was Kansas City.
So what's that? Okay, so that's two. Let me write these down somewhere.
Yeah.
So I don't ever forget. So I have actual evidence to show you that, hey. You continue what you're saying.
I think the Steelers with the 49ers problems right now, a lot of it is circling around Debo Samuel. And I think Debo Samuel wants out, but he's not going to get granted out. So he's trying to do everything in his power to like force it that way. But in reality, it just hurts his stock rather than hurt San Francisco as a whole. But I just really like the way that this Pittsburgh team is thriving right now, because I always have
it's week one.
But I thought
it's week one.
I forgot for a second. I got a little bit ahead of myself.
San Fran.
They're at home week too.
One at home.
Mm-hmm.
In Pittsburgh or
in Pittsburgh?
Okay, that's not as crazy. It's still crazy, but.
I'm a crazy man.
The same guy. I'm not gonna bring it up anymore. I'm done trolling with the cousins things. I'm stop bringing it up. You know what? I'm gonna leave it alone. But if you want to keep that, that's what I'm keep bringing it up.
They play the Browns at Pittsburgh week two. I have them splitting. So I have the Browns.
They lose that game for me.
Losing. Steelers versus the Raiders at Las Vegas. I have them beating the Raiders. So I have them starting 3-0.
They're 2-1 for me.
Texans.
No, 1-2. My bad.
They play the Texans at Houston. I have them 4-0.
That's a 2-2 record.
I have them splitting against Baltimore, so they're 4-1.
They're now 2-3.
They beat the Rams. They're three and three. Dog shit out the Rams.
They're 3-3 now. They beat, then,
The Jaguars. They lose. Jaguars are going to be too much for the Steelers. I got
they're
the
now 3-4. They're 3-4 for me.
I got them beating the Titans.
They beat the Titans for me. They're now 4-4.
I have the Packers going into Pittsburgh and beating Pittsburgh. As crazy as it sounds, but
nah, you said crazy things. So
that's
four. They're four and five.
I have them splitting against the Browns.
Okay, they're 4-6 for me now.
And then I have them splitting against the Bengals.
They lose that as well, so they're now 4-7.
So with the Browns, I have them winning at home, and then the Browns win at their crib. Same thing with the Bengals. Cardinals, I have them beating the Cardinals.
They beat the Cardinals at 5-7.
Patriots, depending on what they do, I think the Steelers win.
No. Run that back for me, Turbo. Hold on. No, I don't care. I don't care what they do. We're beating Pittsburgh. We beat Pittsburgh. That's one thing we do. We beat Pittsburgh. When was the last time we lost to Pittsburgh? It's not been 20 years. It hasn't been 20
no,
years.
No, no, no. I'm not saying 20 years. I think the last time in the regular season was probably Big Ben's third to last year. But you would have to fact check me on that.
I will have to fact check because I know we beat them. Because last time we played the Steelers was, it's going to be this year. Before that, it was my senior year of high school. We beat them week one. Junior year, we played them. We lost. We lost my junior year the 2018 season. That was
last time
we lost.
And he retired. No.
That was a while ago. That was AB's last year in Pittsburgh.
Okay.
That was AB's last year in Pittsburgh.
And then when
we lost that game because our offense stinked. That's the year we won the R six. That's the year we won the six. I had to sprinkle in there just because every loss we ended up, it didn't matter, man. That was one of our worst regular seasons we had for our championship run, but we still got it done and added another piece of jewelry to our collection. One day I'm gonna just get and join the podcast and I'm gonna just flex a Patriots ring and just put it in your face because you can't do that. I'm gonna get one just for you.
I'ma just leave. I'ma just leave and just never come back. I'ma just go under my alias. Just run away.
What'd he say? Go into some mountains. Get in touch with nature.
Yeah, I'm just become a hippie and just
okay. Just get in touch with nature, man. Hey, while you was playing, man, I was dead serious what I was saying about that heat thing. We let through a lead, man. I don't know if you ever hear from me again.
Man.
I would have to leave schools. I probably would have had to.
You would have to left the state. Damn near the country.
I'd leave the state, whatever, man. Because guess what? Because there's nothing I could say, man. I could talk all about your Bills, but you could say, bro, you blew a 3-0 lead. Nobody's ever done that. I didn't even do those 4 straight games.
I was rooting for Boston. And of course,
I know you were.
And of course, they let me down in the garden.
Badly.
I was like, bro, this is just fucking pan. I don't even want to get into it. After they play the Colts at Indianapolis. Have them beating the Colts.
I had them beating the Colts.
And then I have them winning a game against Cincinnati when they're at home. They play the Seahawks at Seattle. I have them going to Seattle, getting a win. Then they play the Ravens at Baltimore.
That's loss.
And that is the AFC North.
Well, that's the AFC North. I have Bengals going 12-5, Ravens going 12-5, Browns going 11-6, and Steelers going 7-10. I'm sorry, Mike Tomlin, but the way things going, I think you're going to finish below 500 this year. And if you don't, I'm okay with being wrong, because guess what? At the end of the day, I always win. Even when I'm wrong, I always win.
Oh.
I'll never forget. I say Kirk Cousins are gonna beat the Giants by 14 points. I was called crazy. You expect him to do that? Well, guess what's coming from psychology? What happened? What happened? I won money anyway, because even when I lose, I win.
Anywho, I have the Ravens finishing first, Bengals second, the Browns third, and then the Steelers fourth. But I still, I think they all finish with above 500 records. Anywho, that's the podcast for that. It was a long podcast, but
yes, it was. I mean, I didn't even know it was that long. Hey, yeah. But it's been a minute, man. We haven't recorded once this week.
So it's all good. It's all good in the hood. subscribe to the podcast on all podcasting platforms. Share.
Let's get one thing. Make sure you follow us.
Oh yeah, follow us. Follow us
on IG, Snapchat, Twitter. I don't know about his burner.
Follow the burner. Don't leave the burner alone. Don't.
But follow us all.
But yeah, follow us on IG. We'll drop the IG in the description below. I sounded like a true YouTuber there, and I'm giving myself a pat on the back for that. That was a proud moment in my life that I will always cherish for the rest of my life.
If you want to have a regular debate or talk any basketball or ask someone on opinions or something like that, just shoot us a message, whatever. It don't matter. I'll get back to you when I can, because the phone be on D&D, but you got Mr. D&D Queen right here. You gotta call him like 50 times just to get the call.
During the school year, from like autumn to the winter, I will have my phone on D&D. Even when I'm working, I will have my phone on D&D.
Yeah, that's insane. Because what if the place is calling you? You're insane for that.
I know. I'm at least a lunatic.
At least I can understand it if nobody's gonna, like, if you're not on food. But if you're on food, you can at least leave it on Do Not Disturb. We gotta get this one story out of the way. Cause you remember that one day at Wintrust, it was you. Your phone's on D&D, so we don't even know if the piece place is here or not. This man, him, man, he be killing me, man. Like, bro, cause I had learned that lesson. Like I said, like certain times, man, you just gotta have it on D&D. Like, cause if you're doing food, you gotta have it on D&D. But if you're not, I can understand. Cause I do that. Because why? No, I'm not finna bother that work. It's on D&D. Because why? Because I hate getting notifications. I hate hearing my watch ding. That's why I turn my notifications off. Watch. I hate hearing that ding sound. It messes with my head. It annoys me. Plus, I want to focus.
No, yeah.
It's the details, John. It's
the details. That's all I was just about to bring up Dougie B, too. Like, I love listening to Dougie B when he's breaking it down, or he's just talking basketball for like 40-50 minutes, and then we're like still at practice. I love that, because like we learn from a Hall of Fame coach, and like not a lot of people understand.
You don't get the opportunity every day.
Exactly. And like we're behind the scenes when all of this is going on.
The good thing is we're not the ones getting yelled at.
Exactly. So I'm just having fun.
I'm just having fun, just soaking in information, man. I can't wait for season.
I can't wait.
For season three, it's your season two, so we don't get things started the right way. We know the ropes now.
We don't have
new face. I'm assuming as manager, if the dude got hired.
We're running the back with the same rodeo.
You know
how we are when.
I'm not talking about the other guy.
They haven't even looked at their applications, I'm pretty sure.
Well, you know what? We'll see because they have to get that orientation before. So we'll see, because I don't think nobody's ever started in spring, so we'll have to see. We'll have to see till next week. Because at the end of the day, I think they're going to hire the dude that's like the sophomore anyway, because they need a replacement for us anyway. So
yeah,
I think they're going to hire him anyway. So I don't think, because not even just because we need a fifth person, because they need to have somebody with experience going into next year.
Yeah.
So, at the end of the day, I think he's going to get it. T, I don't know.
I hope T gets it. I really do.
But you know what? They're going to say, NC going to say, it's the budget. It's the budget. But hey.
Yeah.
That's all. That's all. Folks.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We can't. Yeah.
Can't hog all your time. Sorry.
Yeah. Well, I'm so sorry that I just have
it's
a mouth.
10:30. It's 10:30.
Yeah.
Pause.
Well,
Yeah, that's a wrap. That's a wrap. Let's wrap it up.
As always, trust the process. Follow the podcast at 1497 Podcast. Follow our Instagrams. It's going to be down below in the descriptions. It's time for me to go watch TV.
Yeah, it's time for you to go to bed, man. Trip.